1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. The Bible says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and we're grateful for the opportunity that we have to be able to gather together here tonight and to be able to study your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would use your word to speak to our hearts and to help us in these days. We believe that in times like these, we need a Bible. And we're grateful for your word and its direction for our life. And so I pray that you would help us to take your word tonight and to use it, to apply it to our lives, that we would shine forth a reflection of you. And so, Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read you, first of all, as I begin this message here tonight, a poem that I recently found in my old notes, and I thought it was a very wonderful poem and a thought-provoking poem. The author says, "One day, as I was fast asleep, I had this stirring dream. I was caught up to be with God, with angels it did seem. And while up there, I met God's saints from many parts of the earth. Now, some were great and famous men, and some of humble birth. I talked to one great saint of God, the first one I had met. He told me how he died for Christ. His words I can't forget. He lived, he said, in Bible days and died at Nero's stake. It was a joy to give my all and burn for Jesus' sake. I was so glad to die for Christ, with humble words he said, but as I listened to it all, I bowed my guilty head. Another man then gently spoke, 'Here is my story, friend. 'Tis cannibals that took my life because I would not bend. I tried to tell those heathen souls of Christ who came to die. They took my life and didn't care and set my soul on high. Of course, up here are millions more with stories rare and true. But friend, before I tell you more, let's hear your story too. I am ashamed of how I failed. I've known no sacrifice. I am ashamed of how I failed. I've paid such little price. I've never even given funds to send the gospel out. I've lived a life of luxury and never done without. Those costly cars, those extra clothes, seem needless now and vain. The very thought of how I've lived now fills my heart with pain. Just then it seemed that Jesus said, 'Take up my cross today. I'll give to you another chance to work, to give, and pray.' My guilty heart began to burn, my nervous body shake. Then I awoke with tear-filled eyes, with new resolves to make. I told the Lord from that day forth, my best, my all I'd give to win the lost in every place. For this alone I'd live. I told the Lord that from then on I would not waste a dime. I would not give myself, I would indeed give myself to prayer and really use my time. That I would seek with all my heart that power from above to help me tell a heathen world of Jesus' grace and love." You know, I think that I think if we're not careful in our Christian life, and I understand, and I hope you understand what I'm trying to say, we can become a very religious people, even with the truth. We can We can read the Bible and we can go through all the motions, but it really doesn't impact our heart. And James makes it clear to us that if a man who would seem to be religious or devoted, and that relationship that he has doesn't even change the way he talks, James says that man's religion is vain. Because a true walk with God is going to change how we live each and every day. It has to. It has to. And if it doesn't change the way we live every day, then we can be just going through the motions. And, you know, the questions I have to ask myself as I was laying on my back listening to the live stream this morning is, when I hear the Bible, and I've preached hundreds of sermons, I've heard hundreds of sermons, and the question we have to ask is, you know, as we come to a close of a message, because I believe truth always brings us to a place of decision, is what does God have for me? What can I learn? And I am amazed as I've been reading personally in my own time, 1 and 2 Corinthians. And if you're familiar with 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing to a church that is the carnal. And they're not looking to God, they're looking to themselves, they only care about themselves. And we come to this passage of Scripture, and I'm challenged with this truth of the Apostle Paul, because I don't know about you, but when I think of the Apostle Paul, I think of this rugged, strong man. I think of this strong, emotionally, you know, strong, spiritually Christian that, you know, stands behind the pulpit and bless God. I don't care who likes it or not. You're going to get the truth. And this just super Christian is kind of how I picture this man, this super Christian that we could never in 2024 get to his level is often what I'm thinking in my mind as I read through the epistles and I read through the Acts of the Apostles, and I learn about this man named Saul who became Paul, and I think, I wish I could do those things, but of course, I'm not Paul. But we really, as we read this passage of Scripture, and we look at how Paul came to Corinth, we realize very quickly that Paul was just a man. And it wasn't the strength that he had outwardly or even inwardly in himself, it was the power of God that helped him to accomplish what he did. And, you know, I think that this is an encouragement to us, because I think this ought to be our goal. And we're going to break it down. D.L. Moody once said this. He says, I see countless thousands of souls that will one day spend eternity in hell if they do not find the Savior. And I have to step back and I have to think to myself, how do I see people in the world today? How do I see people in the world? Do I see people like the government sees people, where you're just a person that they can tax? You're just a statistic. You're just a number. You're just a long number. Do we see people, you know, as a retailer where you're just another customer? And I have to check myself every day as a pastor that you know, as I'm overseeing the church and preaching the word of God, that I don't treat people in the church like a customer. You know, we're all equal in Christ, we're the body of Christ, and you know, obviously we don't want to see people like we see others in traffic where, you know, you're just in my way. Get out of my way. You're just a pylon in my way till I get to the next destination. That's, I don't know about you, but that's kind of how I see cars in traffic. You know, just let me get to where I need to go. But you know how Jesus saw people. Jesus saw people as sheep without shepherds. And they were with great spiritual need. And God help us to see people with great spiritual need. Let's break down this passage of Scripture here this evening, and let's look at, first of all, the preaching of Paul, and we notice this in verse number 1 together, the preaching of Paul. The Bible says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Now, I think we have to understand a little bit about Corinth before we continue the message here tonight. Corinth was a very wicked society. I mean, we look at our society today and we think it is wicked, and our society is wicked. Well, you know, Christians had a saying that it was something to live like a Corinthian. I mean, their society was so wicked that it became a tagline for, you know, immorality and sinfulness. And so Paul is led by God to go to this city. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have no desire to even step into the gates of Corinth. Corinth has nothing to interest me. But Paul says, "I was determined." I like that. Determined. I think that in 2024, I think we're losing a lot of fundamental things in our church and in our country, and that is determination and commitment. And Paul was determined. And so he enters into Corinth. And we notice the decision of Paul as it began here. We notice that Paul enters into the city and he begins to preach. Now, I want us to go to the Acts of the Apostles, or the Actions of the Apostles, Acts chapter 18. And you'll notice that the Actions of the Apostles, or the Sent Ones, the actual book doesn't really end because it continues to where we are today. We are the Sent Ones. And we are these, you know, we are continuing to live out the call of the Lord. Acts chapter 18 and verse number 1. And notice, if we could, the Apostle Paul coming here into Corinth. The Bible says, "And after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, both Paul and Aquila and Priscilla were tent makers. And so they had that connection. And so the Bible says, because they were of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks." Now, here in the Bible, we see that someone comes alongside of the Apostle Paul and helps and encourages Paul in the ministry. And Aquila and Priscilla, who were tent makers, they housed Paul, they helped provide for his needs. And the Bible says that Paul, every Sabbath, he would go to the synagogue and he would persuade, he would reason with the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed and shook his raiment and said unto them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles." And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. We see just quickly here that coming to Corinth wasn't easy for Paul. It wasn't a walk in the park. It was difficult to do. You know, if we never step out of our comfort zone and do difficult things, we will never get to where God wants us to be. I wouldn't definitely be standing here tonight and preaching behind this pulpit, that is for sure. And so Paul, he goes to Corinth, and he reasons with them. He speaks to them that Jesus is the Christ, and the Jews throw him out. Get out of here. You are a blasphemer. How dare you say that? But I think it's important that as we think of Paul going to Corinth, it all began in a decision to follow the Lord. You know, I believe with all my heart that I don't think Paul, it wasn't that Paul loved the Corinthian people. I think he did, and God did a great work there. But we have to remember that Paul loved God, and God loved the Corinthian people. And so Paul goes into Corinth, and he preaches. We see the devotion of Paul, I believe, in verse number 2. The Bible says here, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." So Paul goes to Corinth, and he begins to preach. And Paul did not get lost in the politics. Paul did not get lost in the idolatry. Paul did not get lost in the rabbit trails of why they did what they did. But he was devoted to the gospel. He wasn't there to be political. He was there to show them the way to God. And I love what the Bible says. He says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." You know, I think if we're not careful, the most important thing can become our last focus in our life. And the most important thing is always the gospel. It's always Christ lifted up. And so the Apostle Paul comes and he preaches the gospel. And here's the incredible thing about Corinth is that this church is planted there. And we read about it in 1 and 2 Corinthians about this church. We read about this church that's formed and founded in this idolatrous culture and city. And Paul comes there with the gospel message, and he's devoted to the gospel message. I want us to go to 2 Corinthians, and let's move forward here to the 11th verse, if we could. And I want us to notice here, as Paul's writing now to the church at Corinth, he gives to them the same advice that he had when he went to Corinth. And this is the incredible thing about the Bible, is that it really helps us to understand the full story. As he was determined not to know anything save Christ and him crucified. And I want us to notice here how this church in Corinth, again, a carnal church where Christ no longer the focus, things became important that were not important. And he writes to the church here in 2 Corinthians 11:3. He says, "But I fear," this is Paul writing to the church of Corinth now, 2 Corinthians 11 and verse number 3. He says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And there really is a wonderful simplicity in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that if we are not careful, we can miss it. You know, I think that everyone should serve in the local church. I believe the local church is God's vehicle for reaching the world. I believe it's our barracks. It's a place where we train and the place that we serve the Lord in various capacities. I believe our service ought to be selfless. I believe it ought to be directed to the Lord as an offering to him. But at the end of the day, ministry is the gift. The present in the gift is the Lord Jesus. And we can be like a little child at Christmas time where we're so focused on the wrapping paper and the box that we forget about what it's all about, and that is our relationship with the Lord Jesus. And that is, I believe, the simplicity that is in Christ. You know, we can push aside all the drama and all the politics and all of those things. It really comes down to the question, Are we growing in our walk with God? Are we becoming spiritual or are we becoming carnal? That's the question that we all should be asking in our hearts. And the reality is, as you take some time, and I've been reading through it in my own time, you take some time and read through 1 and 2 Corinthians, and I hope you don't find yourself in there, because the church at Corinth, you know, they didn't care about the gospel going forward. They didn't care about the souls of people. They didn't care about knowing gospel truth. But Paul was determined. His devotion was, listen, I'm going to put Christ in his rightful place, and I'm going to preach Jesus, because that is the hope of our world today. And I believe that that's what our world needs, is the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only do we notice in this scripture here, and I think it's important, the preaching of Paul, but I want us to think about the power of Paul. And I think it's important for us to see this frail man, the Apostle Paul. I think if we had the opportunity to invite Paul to preach, he would be this frail man that would walk up, kind of like when my back was out, and you know, he was probably blind, and he would be just scars galore. He wrote the church of Galatia and said, "Bother me no more, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." He was a man who suffered much for the cause of Christ, and he was weak. And we look in this passage of scripture, and I'm amazed by this. I'm amazed at this. The Bible says in verse 3 here of our text, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Now, this is important, I think, for us as Christians. The word trembling, this is interesting. The word trembling there in your Bible, it means to quake with fear. When Paul is standing at the city limits of Corinth, he's thinking to himself, "I don't want to go in there. I really don't want to go in there." Paul said that he came to this people in fear. He came to this people in weakness. He came to this people with so much fear he was quaking. That's how Paul came to Corinth. It wasn't this super Christian that marched forward and said, "You know what? I'm going to charge hell with a squirt gun." Here was a man who was feeble and weak and tired and bore the marks of Jesus Christ. And he knew this was not going to be easy when he walked into Corinth. It's going to be hard. There's going to be so much resistance. There's going to be so much persecution. Now, I think it's important for us to note that fear is not of God. The Bible teaches us that, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And I think that if we go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, we realize that fear actually is a result of sin and a sin-cursed nature that we all have. And it is more normal for us to be fearful than to be bold, because that is our nature. Our nature as sinners is to be afraid, is to be fearful. And so God is saying, "Listen, I've not given you the spirit of fear. I've given you the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind." And so we can never allow, and this is important, we can never allow fear to make decisions for us. We cannot allow fear to make decisions for us. "The fear of man bringeth a snare," the Bible says. "But whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Now, I'm going to be the first to tell you, in all honesty, I've made decisions in fear. And I think if we were all honest, we would all have to say, yes, I've made decisions in my life based on fear as well. But we have to remember that though we all have fear, we don't have to succumb to that fear. Now, I'm glad when he came to Corinth, he didn't walk away. You know, the spirit of fear is that spirit of fear that we have, is that mental disposition that causes us to break down and eventually to give up. And I think a lot of people fear a lot of things. And I mean, spiritually speaking, we fear failure. We fear the unknown. I think I remember reading a long time ago that they did a scientific experiment where they were testing people for their fear of the unknown. And I don't know all the numbers and stuff. I had to look back in my notes. But I remember the conclusion of the experiment was that people feared the unknown more than they feared physical pain. Now, I don't know if you've ever stayed in bed at night and worried and had fear, then you understand how it can be crippling in your life. But Paul didn't succumb to the fear. Paul was terrified to go to Corinth, but he went. He went. He walked into that city. And the Bible says he walked into that city as a weak man, as a fearful man, with much trembling. You know, I think to myself when I get to heaven, and I understand my sins are all washed away, they're under the blood, but I think of that poem at the very beginning and how we make all of these excuses, and sometimes we think in our mind they're good excuses, of why we can't do something, why we can't serve God in a certain capacity. I remember talking to a man. He was an older man, and I was preaching away, and I sat down after I was done preaching at the front, and this man came to me, and he was, to be honest, he seemed like a very miserable man. And he said to me, "I am a miserable man." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Because God called me to preach, and I kept saying no, I kept saying no, I kept saying no. And now I'm trying to use the little life that I have to serve the Lord." I think oftentimes we push God away because of fear, because we believe that we are unable to accomplish that weakness. We think that we're not qualified enough. And God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. But this is often our attitude. Now, when you give someone the gospel, and I think that every Christian ought to do this in some capacity, when you give someone the gospel, you find that you are indeed at your weakest. You know, I remember someone coming to me one time and saying, "Pastor, I don't know what to tell them. You know, I'm afraid I'm going to mix them up." I says, "Mix them up, they're already on their way to hell." Just tell them what God did for you. Just give them John 3:16 and tell them that God loves them. Just sow some kind of seed in their life. Say you'll pray for them. Try to create some spiritual interest in their life. But Paul says he came in weakness and fear and in much trembling. Now notice what the Bible says here in verse 4. And I think this is key because, you know, we see Paul as this weak, frail man coming into Corinth. But when he stood behind that pulpit, man, he let her go, and something changed in him, and it wasn't his within himself, but we notice here in verse number 4, he says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Again, Paul did not become political. Paul did not come to the world of Corinth and give them more of the same, more of the jargon, more of the mess that they're already in. He didn't try to tell them to reach deep inside and find their inner man. He preached Christ. And the Bible says here in this scripture that as he stood and he preached and as he spoke, It was a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And I love this because the word demonstration there, it means a manifesting of the Spirit of God in the life of Paul. You know, I just think that if we would just take the step, even when we're afraid, I think God will meet us the rest of the way and help us to accomplish what he wants us to do. I really do believe, and I think that's where Paul was. Paul came into Corinth terrified, but he stepped up to the plate. He did what God had commanded to do. He followed the leading of the Lord. He was devoted to the gospel. And we see that in his preaching and in his teaching, it was a very demonstration of the Spirit of God in the life of the Apostle Paul. And Paul did not win some intellectual contest. He didn't reason with their minds. He spoke to their hearts. And he told them, this is what God says. He preached Jesus Christ. You know, Paul had a struggle. And, you know, the Jews didn't like him. The Gentiles didn't like him. But he was faithful to the Lord. He ends up in a Roman jail cell. And there's believers in Rome that are saying, you know, Paul, you're afraid to come to Rome. You're afraid to come and preach in Rome, you know, the big city. You think Corinth was bad? Step into Rome for a moment. And do you know how Paul responded to that? He said in Romans 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The power of God was manifest in the lives of those Corinthian people as their lives were changed. Now, they weren't perfect people. They had their struggles, that's for sure. But the gospel changed their lives. I want us to think about, thirdly, and I'll be done here tonight, the praise of Paul. So the Bible says in verse number 5, and I think this is important, it says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, we're very rational people. Many times we want to figure the reason for everything in our life, and we come to the Bible and we want to know how this is happening, why this is happening, and you know, I'll be honest with you, sometimes God just simply doesn't give you the answer. And for you to dig deeper means that you're going to start changing the Bible or giving your opinion. God does things to bring glory to himself. And sometimes you just have to end there, that this is for God and this is for his glory. I heard the story of a Sunday school teacher who told the fifth grade class that Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb. And one of the students said, "I know why, because Jesus only used it for 3 days." And that is true. Jesus only used it for 3 days. He performed this incredible miracle. And we know that the miracle of the resurrection is that we serve a living Savior. He's alive today, and we will live as long as Jesus lives. But think about this for just a moment as we think of the power of God. When God wants to do something wonderful, he begins with something difficult. When God wants to do something wonderful, he starts with something difficult. But when God wants to do something spectacular, he always begins with the impossible. The impossible. You know, I've read several books about church and about our human heart and about church growth and about sharing Jesus. I have a book in my office called Sharing Jesus Without Fear. And a lot of these things, they just offer men's wisdom. My opinion or my experience or I did this or you could do this. And And it doesn't really give you the answer. And I think the answer to being a servant of Christ is found in this passage of Scripture. And that is, it's so simplistic. It's just a step out and trust God. And let God fill your mouth. Let God direct you. Let God give you the ability. I don't think I could do that. I don't think I could teach that. I don't think I could be that individual. If you step out and allow God to give you the ability, then you can. You can. And this is what Paul did. Don't allow fear to stop you from being a Christian that loves people, that loves God. Don't let fear stop you from your full potential, not within yourself, but within Christ and within the body of Christ. Remember the poem of the man who realized that he had missed out on this life, and he said, I would not waste a dime, that I would give myself to prayer and really use my time. Now, I wish Brother Mark preached a great message, but I wish anytime I'm home or sick and I watch the live stream, man alive, it almost kills me. It almost kills me. But my message this morning was indeed about time. And I'm going to preach it later, maybe next week. But we have now. Now's the time that we have. And we need to ask God what he would have us to do now in our service for the Lord. I read this story. A hurricane had struck and people had huddled together. And there was a man who was a very religious man. And he was really good with his words and could put together these great words. And so he stands in the midst of this violent storm. And he's crying out, send us the spirit of the children of Israel and the children of Moses and the children of the promised land. And this old man stands up and he's not as good as putting words together. And he said, Lord, don't send nobody. We need you to come. This ain't no place for children. And I think it's true for us today. We need the Lord to come. And all the effects that anything that we tried to do for the Lord, if God is not present, then it is in vain. And remember the Apostle Paul for just a moment before you think he was some spiritual, I believe Paul was a very spiritual man, by the way, but before you think he was this brave man that never had any fears or doubts, that's not true of Paul at all. He came to Corinth with fear, but he stepped in with the power of God, and God did a great thing. And God can use you and God can use me if we're just willing to go. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your blessings. We're grateful.